Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King. For this show, the Grizzlies got a win last night over the Portland Trailblazers, a big win for the Grizzlies in terms of the playoffs. We'll talk about that game. I talked with Tyus Jones last night as well as some other players. We'll hear that audio on this show as well today. So let's get to it.
Pull up, jump shot. It's good. Zach Randolph does it again. 3-point game. They've got to go for three now. No choice. Conley for three. Ties it up.
First team all defense. First team all defense.
Here's Gasol from outside. Tony Allen. Shot clock at four. Randall puts it up. Puts it in.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome into the show. Like I mentioned, the Grizzlies had a huge game last night. It was important in terms of what the Grizzlies are going to do in the playoff race with a team that is directly racing, if you will, or directly in contention for that last playoff spot with the Grizzlies. And it was a big game. We talked about this on the show with maybe Amari Sankofa, like about what the biggest game had been for the longest time. I think we all agreed it was probably the biggest game since game six of the playoffs a couple years ago. So it was important for the Grizzlies to go out and get a win. And it was a fun. If you missed the game and were not there in the arena, I promise you, you missed a lot of fun. I know that it probably came across on TV as well, but just being in that arena, it's been a long time, I think, since that arena has been that packed. What felt like a playoff game, but it's been that packed and that kind of raucous. And it was a lot of fun. So let's talk about the game itself. The Grizzlies, let's talk about Ja Morant first. The Grizzlies, without him, they had no chance of winning this game. And in a time where a lot of talk has been about Zion Williamson, and rightly so, let's be honest, Zion Williamson is good at basketball. I'm not here to say he's not, but there's been a lot of talk about how Zion Williamson has played 9 or 10 games and is now the preemptive rookie of the year, or it is now a race again, or there are choices. Let me be very clear about this. It is not a race. Ja Morant has already won. And if you needed any more idea or if you needed any more confirmation of the rookie of the year, I'd direct you to last night's game for Ja Morant. Didn't have a great game shooting the ball, but there was a time in that game at the second quarter whenever it was Brandon Clark out there, Jaren, De'Anthony Melton, Josh Jackson, and Ja Morant. And he had like five huge plays. I mean, as Jaren will call it, have five goggle plays in a row. I mean, just plays that were all over the place. I mean, I saw someone tweet this. Maybe it was Chris Harrington. I'm not sure. Maybe it was Peter. I don't know. But I thought it was funny in the sense that they didn't know that someone could get hot on a passing streak. But that's exactly what Ja Morant did. Like, every minute, Ja Morant was just throwing a dime to somebody. It was really, really impressive what he was doing last night. I mean, he kind of cooled off in the second half and into the second quarter. But I'd say that's probably more the Grizzlies' fault. The Grizzlies played really, really well throughout the first part of the second quarter. They were literally finding guys everywhere. Brandon Clark was in the teeth of the defense every single play. Now, Portland's interior defense is just bad. It's atrocious. It's not great. It's exactly what the Pelicans and Zion Williamson did to them the night before. Like, it is not good. But Brandon Clark took every advantage of that, and Ja Morant found him every single time, it seemed like, when he was open in the teeth of the defense for just easy, easy buckets. And they were able to really push out that lead. But in that second quarter, at the end of that second quarter, the Grizzlies decided that they weren't going to do that anymore and decided to go to Jonas Valanciunas several times on the block, and it's just not it. Like, that's just not the offense for this Grizzlies team. Now, Jonas is great. In his own role, he is good with this Grizzlies team. And I know that I probably pick on Jonas a lot on this podcast, and I understand probably people think that I don't like Jonas, and that's not true. I love Jonas Valanciunas for what Jonas Valanciunas is, and when he plays in the type of offense and where he plays. Like, when he's within this role in the offense, he's fantastic. I mean, he still had 18 rebounds last night in what would be a quiet game for him. And so I think for the Grizzlies, he is good when he is good. And he is, you know, there are many times when you find him open for little shots here and there out of the basket, and he's going to have those big 20-point games, those big games every once in a while where he does score the basketball a lot, but those are usually second chance points, really easy buckets. They're not back down to the post kind of shots for Jonas Valanciunas. That's not the offense ever. And the Grizzlies, at a time where at the end of the second quarter, kept going back to Jonas because he had this little brush up with Hassan Whiteside. So you could see, like, he wanted the ball, he wanted to make a point, and I get that. That's fine. But that's not the offense for the Grizzlies. And there should never be a time when Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson are both in the game, and Jonas Valanciunas is shooting more shots on offense than those two guys are. There's never a time for that, ever. And so when that happened, the Grizzlies just gave up an entire, I think, 11-12 point lead down to 4 before halftime. So that was, you could tell that was a problem for the Grizzlies having Jonas Valanciunas in there. And honestly, he's just not athletic enough. He just doesn't even get down the court fast enough. And so you see a lot of that. I've noticed the transition defense, when it's bad, it's usually because Jonas is in there and he's honestly just not getting down the court quick enough. You saw when the Grizzlies put Brandon Clark in, the tempo of the game changed, the pace of the game changed completely because he was literally getting down the court just quicker than Jonas. And those early, you know, kind of transition opportunities, even after he scored the bucket, even after the opponent scores the bucket, you still get that early kind of second fast break chance with Brandon Clark just because he's getting down the court quicker. So I thought that was really interesting to see. Again, I love Jonas, but there's a time and place for Jonas's offense, and it really isn't that. That's back down to the basket. That's not who these Grizzlies are. And as soon as they stop pushing the pace, as soon as they stop running with the ball and the tempo and it slowed down, that's when you saw them get in a lot of trouble and lose a lot of leads. And so that's what the Grizzlies, they just failed to do in that second quarter. So it was good to see Brandon Clark and Ja Morant on the same page early, though, just because it was so much fun. It's so much fun to watch those guys when they're playing that well that early on. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. We'll talk more about this game. Welcome back to the show. Again, talking Grizzlies, Portland last night. The other thing that was really, really impressive was Gorgui is a guy that is exceptionally good at defense, I've seen. I mean, that short span last night, he can do so many different things for this Grizzlies team. And let's be honest, I haven't seen a lot of Gorgui play. I mean, I watch a lot of NBA games, watch a lot of League Pass, but I've not spent night in and night out watching Gorgui play. He's a 7-year veteran. He's been in the league for a while. I have not spent an insane amount of time watching Gorgui Dieng play. And if there are a lot of Memphians that are telling you that are writing that probably, you know, they've either had to go back and watch a bunch of tape or they're probably just making something up. So, I mean, honestly, I don't, and you guys probably haven't either, but I've seen him play a couple times. I know what he's supposed to be. And last time we saw what he was supposed to be. He's a guy that brings more to this team on defense than he does. I mean, he played one offense as well. Don't get me wrong, but his what he brings to this team is mostly on defense. That's what you should be excited most about. They were able to put him on the court and do a lot of different things. He's also athletic enough to just stay with those pick and roll guys as a five man, just like Clark or Jaren is able to do as well. So in a time where they have Jonas kind of doing this, you know, sagging back thing, and they blitz with Jonas once, but they have a time where they have a different coverage with Jonas Valanciunas just because he's just not fast enough to stay with the pick and roll man to allow, you know, he's not fast enough to stay with the pick to allow the other guys to get back. And it's just a situation that defensively is tough for Jonas to be able to do. But Gorgui is able to step in last night and really play quite well on defense. It's something he really just, I think he adds another dimension to this team, something you were not getting with Solomon Hill off the bench, something that I think you can really, really work towards. He only played 12 minutes, but I thought it was a very impactful 12 minutes for Gorgie. I thought he was really good on offense as well, hit a three. I mean, he did everything you want him to do to be able to fit right in with this Grizzlies team. I mean, he clearly wants to be here, and it seems like that's with a lot of these guys, with Justice and these new guys, they just want to be here. And so that's a culture that Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. have created. They want to be here. And so that's really, really fun to see. Again, Gorgie played really well last night. Only 12 minutes. He had 7 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, a block. So I thought that was really, really good in a very, very short amount of time. Another guy had a really quiet game last night, but I thought was really good, was Josh Jackson. It doesn't show up in the box score what all he did. He only had, 4 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, but I thought he was everywhere on defense, everywhere that he needed to be. He was filling the passing lanes and all. I mean, he was doing a lot of little things that sometimes just don't show up. And I thought he had an excellent, excellent game. Again, he played 20 minutes last night, more than he's usually been playing, but I thought it was really good. Thought it was a really good game for Josh Jackson last night. A sneaky good game for him. Again, we mentioned Brandon Clark, tied his career high, 27 points last night. He was absolutely everywhere. Now, the other guys that really impacted the game without scoring the basketball, Kyle Anderson and Jaren Jackson Jr. Those guys really impacted the game without scoring the basketball a whole lot in a night where they largely struggled. I mean, Jaren didn't shoot the ball well. He was 1-for-4 from 3, 1-for-6 overall. Didn't take a whole lot of shots in general. That's got to change for Jaren. He can't play 33 minutes and take 6 shots. That's just not what you want from Jaren. So, I think they'll get it back on track. But he's been so good defensively that I think it doesn't – I mean, it does matter that he's not scoring the ball, but he's been so good defensively that you're able to overlook that. I mean, you're talking about a game last night where the Grizzlies made 6 three-point shots. They shot 6-for-23 from 3, but they had 76 paint points. 76. I mean, there are so many different ways they're able to score the basketball now. So many different lineups they can throw out there that, and everybody's got different skill sets. I mean, the variety and the depth that they have on this team right now is really, really impressive. And quite frankly, not something that I thought they would have at the beginning of the season. Obviously, no one thought that, because this obviously is a surprise to everyone what they're doing, but just it's impressive what this front office has done. It's impressive what Taylor Jenkins has done. Again, 76 points in the paint to 34 points in the paint and to the Trailblazers. That just gives you an idea of the exact opposite philosophies of what they're trying to do inside out and outside in, of what their offenses are. The Grizzlies' offense has not been great. They've not been shooting the ball well at all lately. But once they're able to still continue to get points in the paint, once Jaren is still playing like he is playing defensively, they're still able to get wins. And that should make you really excited for the fact that once they get back on their shooting string, once they get back to kind of getting back to the mean, I thought they're probably playing over their heads when they're shooting the three ball that well. And once they kind of get back to their averages and Jaren starts to shoot the ball well again and some other players start the ball well again, Dylan has not had good last 3 games, once those things start happening, then that's kind of scary what the Grizzlies could do if they continue their defensive effort and if their shooting comes back. That's kind of scary. I mean, it's going to be a tough stretch over the next few weeks with who they have playing. They're going on a West Coast road trip, all that stuff. So they're going to need that. But it is very, very impressive what they're doing, their ways they're able to score. And once they get their shooting streak back, that's kind of exciting to think about. And all this is happening, and they don't even have Justice Winslow on the floor. So when he comes back, I mean, that could be something that could be really, really fun to watch. Let's take another quick break. We'll be right back. We'll hear from those players from last night. Welcome back to the show, talking Grizzlies, Blazers last night. I talked with Tyus Jones. Everybody decided to go talk to Ja Morant. I couldn't actually get in that little media scrum, so I decided to talk to Tyus Jones by myself just for a few minutes to get his take on, sometimes we saw last night the Grizzlies' offense just stall. And I was trying to figure out if there were tricks and things that he could do as a point guard that will always get them back on their rhythm offensively.
So Coach mentioned that he wants you guys to continue to go downhill all the time. It seemed like tonight sometimes that kind of stagnated. Is there a certain point or what you know you can run out there when you're out there running the offense? You know you can get yourselves and get the guys back into a certain rhythm. Is there something you know you can go to?
Yeah, I mean, just our offense in general is great. You know, we have great spacing. It's just staying patient and getting the ball side to side. I think we get in such a rhythm where we feel like we can be aggressive and get downhill that we might get downhill on that first action rather than making the defense, you know, collapse, close out, get side to side, and then get an even more open look. So it's just knowing, kind of balancing when to attack early on and when to kind of get the ball from side to side and make the defense work a little more.
As a point guard, is there a certain set you know you always have in your back pocket that I know I can go to something like this that will get them going side to side?
Yeah, we got a couple different sets.
That are something you go to?
Yeah, that we kind of can go to. Kind of gets the ball side to side. If we just run the set all the way through, and obviously you make reads and plays. If something's there, you take it. But yeah, we got a couple different sets. So,
and how much do you work on those lobs in practice? Is that something you're actually working on, or is that just feel of the game?
It's a feel, and I'm I got a couple easy lob targets where they'll go get it. You know, on this team we got a bunch of athletes, so for me it's easy to just throw it up and they'll go get it. They want you to throw it higher and higher, and so it's cool.
On defense, you guys blitzed Dame's pick and roll a few times. Is that something that you guys know going into the game that's something you want to do, or is that something during the game that coaches, okay, we need to try this to stop him? How does that work?
You got to throw different looks at him because he's a great player. He's probably playing as well as anybody right now. So we try to throw a few different looks at him throughout the game just to mix it up because he's a great player and he'll know if we keep the same coverage, okay, this is what they're doing. This is how I need to play it. So we threw a few different coverages, blitzed him sometimes, sometimes switch, sometimes hard hedge. It's just you got to throw different coverages at him and try to make his job as tough as possible because he's a great scorer. And he'll know. He knows how to read defenses. He'll know if you're doing the same thing every time, how to pick you apart. So we try to throw a few different looks at him.
Cool. Thanks, man.
That was Tyus Jones. I thought it was interesting what he said about defensively what they do just for coverages for Dame. They have to just constantly change it or, you know, those guys will just pick him apart, which makes total sense from their side of things. I was very curious what they, you know, what their plan was going in for him, going in the game, you know, before they even got there, what they saw on film. Let's hear from Jaren. This is him talking about just All-Star Weekend being selected, all that stuff going into what you guys are playing in the Rising Stars Challenge, him, Ja, and Brandon Clark.
It's great. It's an honor to be invited to something like that because it's something you really dream of, honestly. And I'm just looking forward to doing it again like last year and then being a part of their first one. It's really cool.
Ja was saying there's been some smack talk already with Brandon.
Oh, yeah. We're going to beat Brandon. We're not trying to lose the game. So, yeah, BC.
Brandon said that if he comes out on the break, he's jumping up to get out of the way.
I'm not trying to jump out. I might get out of the way. Who knows? It depends. If we're losing, you know, it is what it is. But I know how he jumps, so I just got to catch him a little off guard. I can't let him get to the launch pad.
Damian Lillard said he's not participating in the All-Star game. That definitely could affect both of you and Jar actually. Because it might both of you try to be into the game and might open up a spot for you in the three-point contest. I know you know something.
My phone's always on. It's on. Ringer's on.
How do you guys kind of take what you guys have been able to do in this first part before the break and carry it?
I think just the focus has been there the whole time. Coach has really done a good job keeping us, you know, locked in on the game plan and everything. Yeah, and nothing really else. We've been doing the same thing for a while, so we're getting comfortable with each other.
I know you guys have been saying, you know, one game at a time, but I mean, you were here last year to see just where you guys are at this point in the season. I mean, do you pinch yourself at all? Or are you surprised, shocked what you guys have been able to accomplish so far?
I'm happy about it. I don't really thinking hard about it kind of throws you off a little bit just because you just want to stay consistent. But, you know, when we sit down and really think about it, which we'll probably get a chance to over break, you just got to be excited about what we've done this far. I'm proud of all these guys. You know, we played really hard, and a lot of these games haven't been easy. And, you know, some of the time they didn't. A lot of people didn't think we were going to win a game. We won. When the odds are against us, that's probably when we play the best.
When you saw Tony Allen out tonight, I mean, just the reaction that he draws from the crowd, you know, is that something that, you know, guys do over the years, like you want to leave that type of legacy in terms of, like, that memory of people, that just draws that kind of reaction when they see you in the building?
For sure. I mean, that's the goal, to represent here and get the fans excited, like, every play, every game. And what T.I. did is just insane. So, you know, he deserves that reaction every time he walks anywhere. He just should deserve it when he goes to eat. So, yeah.
Next up is John Morant. This is him talking about a little bit about some of the plays and how he was able to, you know, he always does a really good job in post game in the locker room, telling you exactly how he does things on the court. Like, I know that we see things so quickly, but he clearly sees things in half speed and that, with the way things are happening on the court. So this is him talking about breaking down a few of those plays. He does a really good job of telling you exactly what he sees and when he sees it as he goes through those plays.
I do the same thing with Coach. Like, he'll try to show me, like, film some time. Now I call out the play before he's out. I just remember.
That was it.
So you just knew where he was going to be on that play, essentially? Is that what you're saying?
It's a little thing I do, like, if I'm getting out on a break before I even say they throw the outlet, I'm already looking to see who's running with me. It's like the pass when I did it between the legs and it was me and Solo. I knew he was coming, but I don't know if nobody else did.
Hey, man, you and Jaren got anything special planned for BC to, you know, try to bring them down in the game? You know, I know y'all, I know y'all got something planned.
That right there. The dub. Still our boy, though. You know. Still
not kicking
with him.
He's not here. You can say something.
Still our boy, though, for sure. But once we get inside the four lines, I know we got to handle business.
Trying to get a body on him?
He better move out the way.
Guys,
I know I will.
You guys defensively, because you haven't shot the three ball all that well the last little bit, the offense hasn't really been, but you guys have won the last few defensive matches. For you particularly, how's your defense? It seems like it's come along quite a bit in the first season.
I'm just trying to get better.
Look good in picks.
Keep just having energy on and off the ball. Watching a lot of films, know where I need to be at in certain positions. It's all just.
What are your focuses like on defensively, like when you're out there and doing the things that you do?
Try to stop them from scoring.
No, but I mean, you know, within the framework of the scheme that you guys are playing, the contests have been better. The contests have been there constantly. Even the shots
just
made.
Don't give up on the play. Try to go out there, you know, just play with energy, put a more pressure on the ball. Just make it harder for the offensive player.
Do you think, I mean, it looks like Damian is out for the All-Star game. Do you think you're in consideration? Do you think you should be in consideration?
I don't control that. We'll see. I'll find out when you find out.
It's not so serious. They might tell you before they tell me.
You know you might have started a little
bit. Goggles and headbands.
You had like five straight goggle plays.
Last player is Josh Jackson. I just came up late as he was talking. This is him talking about Rising Stars weekend, Jaren, Brandon Clark, as well as just this process of going through the hustle and back to the Grizzlies as well.
In the building process, you know, we got a really good team now, but eventually we want to be the number one seed. Like, that's what everybody strives to be, and that's what we're trying to work to.
Seems like Ja's not going to be hyping himself up too much, but Damian Lillard sounding like he's going to be out for the All-Star game. You think he's got a chance to get a replacement?
He definitely got my vote, so, hey, I hope so.
Well, it's John Jaren versus Brandon coming up on Friday. Do you have your money on somebody?
I think we were all placing bets, but I think I'm going to go with John Jaren probably. I don't know. Too many guys on the world team this year.
Oh, okay. Why John Jaren over Brandon?
It's just two against one, you know. I gotta go with those two.
Hey, Josh, thank you know, you're not a rookie, but you got two good rookies on your team. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody know about the rookie wall, and for this team to do what they need to do, they can't hit the rookie wall. So what kind of advice do you get them from hitting the rookie wall after all
the time? I don't really think the rookie wall exists. I don't. I really don't. I think rookies struggle the most first coming in, and I think you guys saw how special Ja and Brandon are coming in. I think the hardest part is when you first get drafted and all the pressure's on you, and you're playing those first couple games. I think that's when the pressure's on to go out there and be able to perform. The ones who are able to do that, just like right off the rip, come out, it's something special about them. So as far as the rookie wall for those two, I'm not really worried about it.
Okay. And what, like, the joyous team, does it feel like something special is going on here?
Yeah, you know, we got a good group of young guys who are hungry and want to win. I think that shows a lot on the court. We don't really care who we're playing against, what we're predicted to finish, or if we're predicted to win or lose. We really don't care. We're just going to come out and play, and we're going to try to win every game.
Hey, this is the second team that tried to bully you guys. You know, the New York tried to bully you. They even tried to take you out of space. What do you guys do to stay within yourself just so you can do what you want to do?
Just knowing that we're all together. Like, nobody on this team is soft, for one. Like, ain't nobody going to take no shit. So we're not really worried about that. Like, you saw guys pushing us around. We're going to push back all the time, 100%. And just knowing that your guys got your back even helps you to be even more, like, aggressive, and, like, you know, I'm definitely not going to take no shit because I know my guys got my back, so love that energy around here.
Do you guys like watching Giannis?
I always love watching him. His little no-jump hooks. I love it.
Bounce pass you threw, of course, that was it bouncing your eye, that long bounce pass.
Oh,
nice.
That's
sweet. What did you see there?
I don't know. I just saw a gap right there, and I threw the ball. I don't know. I took a chance. I thought we were up, so I don't know. It worked out for me.
When you traded to this franchise, what did you think, and how have your perceptions changed?
I was excited. Just coming in, like I said, just being on another young team that's hungry and just wants to win, I feel like that fits me, like, perfectly as a person. Like, I'm young. I got a lot to prove. So do these guys, like, and we all want to win. So I think we all worked very, very well together.
So your perception didn't change as you guys have reeled off these wins over the past couple of
years? I've always known, you know, we've had the talent, and every game that we play, I feel like we got an opportunity, we got a chance to win. So that's all we can really ask for. If we got a chance to win, then, hey, we're going to come out and do it.
How did your time down in South Haven help you with your transition up here? Because it's like you just fit in and you actually contributed as a, you know, as a star, as a player.
It's just always the player I've been. But just being in South Haven really helped me to become more of a leader on the team. I've never really had to step into that role before, but just being more vocal and just knowing your guys a little bit more, as far as their tendencies, what they like and what they don't like, how to talk to certain guys, like when to talk to certain guys, you know? So it just helped me become more of a leader.
Is it more pressure on you being a leader?
That's it for the show today, guys. We'll be back tomorrow with a show with Joe Mullinex. We did not record on Wednesday because we had a Grizzlies game last night, so we didn't record. So we're going to record tonight. That show will be out for you guys tomorrow. So make sure you go subscribe to the podcast, whatever podcast platform you're using, so you don't miss any episode for Locked On Grizzlies.